You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Today, I'd like to introduce you to three female doctors who challenged societal norms to become leaders in their fields and active workers in social welfare in an era in which, quote, the woman's place was in the home, end quote. In today's segment of Surrounded by History, we will explore the stories of Dr. Helen Hughes Hilscher, Dr. Jane Hughes Sullivan, yes, they were sisters, and Dr. Lyda Osborne, and their impact locally and nationally in the early 1900s. Let's get started and be surrounded by history. Helen and Jane grew up in a family of 10 children in Canada. Both attended the University of Michigan and then the University of Minnesota for medical school. In 1900, Dr. Helen started her practice in Mankato. Helen was one of the first female surgeons in Minnesota and the first in Mankato. Upon completing medical school in 1902, Dr. Jane also started practicing medicine in Mankato. At this very same time, Lyda Osborne was beginning her practice in Mankato as well. So that's three female doctors in 1900, 1902, practicing medicine right here in Mankato.
It's pretty incredible.
Very incredible. Lyda grew up in Mankato and graduated from Mankato High School. She also graduated from the University of Minnesota Medical School. In 1900, Dr. R. N. Andrews and Dr. J. S. Holbrook, both men, invited Dr. Lyda Osborne to join their firm. This was the birth of what we know today as the Mankato Clinic.
Wow.
Dr. Lyda stayed with the firm until 1902 when she decided to focus on postgraduate work in Chicago, specializing in women's and children's diseases. This coincided with Dr. Jane's graduation from medical school. Upon moving to Mankato, Jane became a partner of the Andrews and Holbrook firm in Lyda's place. I think it's very interesting that they replaced a woman with another woman, very unique and progressive for the time.
I was going to say, especially, I mean, the original hire in the first place, and then replacing her with another woman was also a big deal.
Yeah, it was. In 1905, the sisters were once again making a name for themselves. Dr. Jane and Dr. Helen purchased a house at 502 South 4th Street in Mankato to be converted into a maternity hospital. Announcement from the Mankato Free Press at the time, quote, the hospital will have a capacity of caring for 15 or 16 cases at one time. The rooms have been attractively decorated and a gas lighting and sewer will be put in. The improvements will cost about $1,000. The building will be well suited for its new purpose. Dr. Jane Hughes will give the new hospital her personal attention and for this reason has withdrawn from the firm of Andrews, Holbrook, and Hughes. She has formed a partnership with her sister, Dr. Helen Hughes, with offices in the Free Press building, where she will be found from 9 a.m. till noon, end quote. By the way, there's a little side note here. At that time, when Helen Hughes, has her offices in the Free Press building, Dr. Lyda Osborne is sharing offices with Dr. Helen.
Okay.
So back to the news article. Quote, the hospital will be known as the maternity hospital. Such an institution ought to find ready support and profitable patronage in a city of the size of Mankato. The location is a very good one for this purpose, and it is hoped that will be appreciated and made the success that it deserves. There is at present no hospital of this kind in southern Minnesota. End quote. the maternity hospital closed about a year later, in part due to the opening of a maternity ward at St. Joseph's Hospital in Mankato. And if you remember, we've done a podcast about Emmanuel and St. Joseph Hospital.
We have.
So you've checked that out if you want to learn more about those early hospitals. All of the women continued their private practice with special focus on women and children's health. In the early 19-teens, Dr. Lida was appointed as a school physician. Her job was to inspect the elementary schools as may be needed, conduct physical examinations in all departments, and act as medical advisor for the district. She also gave talks at the normal school, which at the time was the teacher's college, or
right.
Today MSU, on health and right living. She continued this role for a few years. In 1910, Helen Hughes married Dr. Julian Hilscher. They continued their practices together. Dr. Jane practiced medicine until 1914, about 2 years after she married Michael Sullivan.
Okay.
Then came World War I, and each of these women's call to duty changed. Each was involved one way or another with the local Red Cross and efforts on the home front, including the fight against influenza and for women's equality. Dr. Jane was known for her work with the Red Cross as a knitter, who was said to have taught half the town the skill. At this time, volunteers, mainly women, were knitting socks, hats, sweaters, anything they could for the soldiers overseas. World War I happened in the trenches, and it was very, very cold winters. Dr. Julian Hilscher, Helen's husband, enlisted to serve in the Army overseas during World War I. While he was away, Dr. Helen took on the load of both of their practices and diligently served her community. Helen was involved with the Mankato Red Cross, leading instruction in first aid and home dietetics, and served on the Women's Committee of the Council of National Defense. In addition, she organized the Blue Earth County Home Service Department and served as the chairman.
Wow.
Here is Helen's written account of that work. Quote, "The first work accomplished was to get in touch with each family in a way to make them feel that the great organization of the Red Cross was back of them, and that they were not alone in their struggles. The next matter was to secure the proper allotments and allowances for the dependents, to secure compensations in case of death or of disability, and to explain the insurance, to visit and comfort the bereaved in cases of death," end quote. The war ended on November 11, 1918. After the war, Dr. Jane focused on community work, including founding the Mankato Study Club, a Catholic women's organization. Dr. Jane died unexpectedly of a heart attack at her cottage on Point Pleasant, in Madison Lake in 1941. If you don't know what Point Pleasant is, you might want to check out another one of our podcasts.
I was actually just telling a friend about Point Pleasant not too long ago, and they're like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "It actually, like, Madison Lake used to be like pretty much the resort town of America."
Yep. Yep. So check that out. Dr. Lida continued her practice with special attention to obstetrics and diseases of children. At the time of her retirement in 1939, Lida had been a member of the staffs of both Emmanuel and St. Joseph Hospitals, and she held the office of chairman and secretary of the Emmanuel staff. Lida died in 1940. For Helen, life after World War I was a turning point. She resigned her medical practice immediately following the war and dedicated the remainder of her life to the rehabilitation of returning soldiers and public health. More on that in a moment.
Welcome back to Surrounded by History with Jessica Potter. Learning today about three amazing women doctors in Mankato and how they started, how their careers have grown, and now learning a little more about Helen.
Yes, I'm a Helen fan, so let me tell you more about Miss Helen, Dr. Helen, I should refer to her. In 1919, Helen organized a group of mothers, wives, daughters, sisters of veterans to attend a meeting at the Mankato Armory. The women had worked so hard together during the war, and Helen believed it should not end when the soldiers came home. Her goal was to bring simple comfort to the Great War's sick and disabled. Over 2 million soldiers came home with some type of disability, from amputees to blindness. Dr. Helen addressed the group saying that they were, quote, laying the foundation for an organization which is destined to become worldwide in its influence, end quote. Her ideal, quote, to let them know in a big way that we are standing by, end quote. Helen organized what would become the Minnesota American Legion Auxiliary, the first state to organize, and she was its first president. The women's group organized clothing drives and fund drives to support the veterans and their families. They held Memorial Day services and dinners and started the Poppy program to raise funds. The poppy is the memorial flower of those who died in the Great War. It trembled red on the fields of France and Flanders, crimsoned by the blood of our soldiers. From the stern and prophetic song written by a soldier soon to die, the poppy emerged the symbol of our love and our loss. The flower of sleep became the flower of memory. A strangely practical idea grew out of this poetic fancy, in which the poppy became a token to those who wished to remember their dead by a small contribution to the cheer and welfare of the living, sick, and wounded. In Minnesota, it had its origin in the American Legion Auxiliary during 1920, the first year of the existence of that organization. It sprang from a desire to furnish the men who were hospitalized as a result of the war with some light employment that would enable them to spend the time more pleasantly and to contribute to their healing. These were the days before there was any Veterans Bureau, and when there was very little compensation distributed to veterans. Many of the soldiers were in actual need. The auxiliary itself had no money, but they had unbounded faith in the public to stand by the veterans. They got the material and set the men to work to make the poppy flower. In a short time, the making of the poppy spread beyond the hospital until the activity had a shop where many disabled men were employed. The poppy was the source of Minnesota's very outstanding work among the disabled. If you don't think Dr. Helen is awesome enough, she also was a writer and a poet.
Of course.
And she wrote an inspirational poem as part of this poppy campaign. Here is her poem. I never see a poppy red, but minds me of our soldier dead. Each waiting in his tent of clay, the bugle call of endless day, while drowsily above his bed, the poppy hangs its crimson head, a sign to those who vigil keep, he giveth his beloved sleep.
Wow.
End quote. Largely due to Dr. Helen's efforts, Minnesota had 170 auxiliary units to answer the call of the American Legion. Helen's husband, Julian, who had served in World War I, advocated for the official establishment of the Women's Auxiliary on a national level when he attended the 1919 National American Legion Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Luckily for Julian, the resolution passed. It would take 2 more years before the American Legion Auxiliary national organization would be fully unified and department set up. The first American Legion Auxiliary National Convention was held in Kansas City on November 1st and 2nd, 1921. Dr. Helen was chosen as the first department president when the national body was formed, and in the first years of its existence, acted as one of the five advisors on hospital work, as well as representing Minnesota on a national executive committee woman. Later, she served as the national chairman of the rehabilitation under two administrations, and during that time, she visited nearly all of the large veterans' hospitals to report on their conditions. One of Dr. Helen's first acts as president of the department was the instigation of hospital visitors, women who primarily gained the confidence of the patients and found out their wants and needs. When the auxiliary was well established and functioning efficiently, Dr. Helen spread her interest over the destitute and suffering, whether they were soldier or civilian. She established the Blue Earth County Welfare Association, the first independent organization of its kind in Minnesota, under the direction of the State Board of Health. This organization, of which she was president, was considered a model throughout the state. During the 1930s, Great Depression, Dr. Helen created and managed the American Legion Auxiliary Cooking School for undertrained and undernourished mothers, a sewing school, and preschool activity for children that were too young to receive regular training. Helen's friend and colleague, Dr. Lyda Osborne, assisted with the nutrition program. Throughout her activities, Dr. Helen had retained an active interest in the field of medicine, especially the branch that treats with prevention. She had been widely interested in the state and particularly the county drive against tuberculosis, and an advocate for public health nursing services and child welfare. In 1932, Helen was appointed the Minnesota Board of Health, the first woman to serve in this capacity.
Wow.
She was also an active member of the Catholic Council of Women and served during one administration as chairman of welfare work in the institutions of the state. Dr. Helen died in 1935. I have to read a part of her obituary as printed in the Minneapolis Tribune.
What?
Quote, in the death of Dr. Helen Hughes Hilscher, Minnesota has lost one of its finest and most useful citizens. The story of her busy and unselfish life is a continuous revelation of her unlimited capacity for doing good. One has but to enumerate some of the many activities which engaged her interest to appreciate how broad and how valuable her influence has been. Her active life and her broad interest brought her in contact with the life of her community and her state in many of its phases, and everything she touched felt the benefits of her goodness. Possessed of a fine idealism, a resolute character, and an unselfish desire to better the lot of her fellow men, Mrs. Hilscher leaves behind her the record of a life that is rich both in service and attainment. End quote. I can't imagine that.
That's
what they wrote about her in the Minneapolis Tribune, in the Minneapolis newspaper.
Right. Like something so strong. And I mean, they knew her because she was on the board, but she's probably making waves before that too, but I mean, all the things she's done.
The fact that, I mean, she just had an impact that was felt statewide and national wide, and it's just incredible, not just locally. So, locally, she was remembered not only for her work with veterans and in public health, but also as a writer, a poet, and a historian. Helen was a founding member of the Blue Earth County Historical Society in 1916 and served as our secretary. A public memorial for Dr. Helen was dedicated in 1966 at Turtelot Park by the American Legion Auxiliary. It recognizes Helen as the founder of the American Legion Auxiliary.
That's incredible. That's something that's used nationwide, right?
Right.
So crazy.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, as we explore the stories of three extraordinary women, Dr. Helen Hughes Hilscher, Dr. Jane Hughes Sullivan, and Dr. Lyda Osborne. Even over 100 years later, they are inspiring for their contributions to medicine, to this community, and the groundbreaking work that still continues to this day. Thank you, Dr. Helen, Dr. Jane, and Dr. Lyda. All of the information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.